His check on stories we're following for you on Robin Hood Radio. Region 1 Reopening Committee Athletics Extracurricular Activities Task Group is meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. We remind you, check before you go to make sure where those meetings are held. Some are being held actually at town halls, and others are still remote meetings. Coming up this weekend, the fifth weekend in Norfolk, it's a virtual weekend in Norfolk this weekend. It's being held on Saturday and Sunday, July 31st and August 1st, and then 2nd. Details and more information on how you can follow it and join in, weekendinnorfolk.org. Also, the Falcon Ridge 2020 Share and Shelter in Place Fest is being held. They will start their virtual fest on Thursday at 1:30, and each day through Sunday, August 2nd, it'll be shown on their Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow the links, facebook.com/Falcon Ridge Folk Festival, and then look for their YouTube channel. Taking a look at some other stories we're following for you today on Robin Hood Radio. Drought conditions have hit Columbia and Greene counties. A drought watch has been issued by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation for both Columbia County and also four regions in New York, including Long Island, Upper Hudson, Mohawk area, the Adirondacks, and Great Lakes St. Lawrence area. Conditions in Columbia County and Greene County are being called moderate drought by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Columbia County averages 44 inches of rain each year, Greene County 46. This year to date, Columbia County has received just over 12 inches of rain, and Greene County just over 13 inches, according to the National Weather Service. U.S. Representative Yehanna Hayes of Wolcott plans to introduce a resolution in Congress this week declaring racism in a public health crisis. The resolution seeks to establish a nationwide strategy to address health disparities and inequity across all sectors, dismantle systemic practices and policies that perpetrate racism in the country, advance reforms to address years of neglectful and apathetic policies that have led to poor health outcomes for communities of color, and promote efforts to address the social detriments of health, especially for people of color. Hayes's resolution will follow a similar resolution submitted in the U.S. Senate last week. The Park and Recreation Commission in Kent is trying to relaunch its summer concert series after it was shut down following the first concert when residents did not follow the established safety rules. Commission members met on Monday evening drafting a plan that would allow up to 50 cars parked in the field owned by Kent Land Trust. Everybody attending would be required to sign a disclaimer agreeing to stay inside a marked-off area of the field next to their vehicle. The commission also discussed advanced registration online and providing the first 50 responding people a ticket to attend the event. Park and Recreation Director Leslie Ferris told the Board of Selectmen earlier this month there were people at the first concert on July 2nd who were not staying in their cars and not abiding by the social distancing rules. The sixth concert series at that point was canceled. With the new school year just under a month away in Connecticut, school superintendents across the state remain uncertain how much authority they have to determine how their schools will operate. Quote, right now we are understanding we do have flexibility at the district level, end quote, from Fran Rabinowitz, executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. Quoting again, we are still not sure and hope to be brought up to speed as to the grade levels for which that flexibility exists. Superintendents still aren't certain if they have the authority to bring some grade levels back, leave others learning at home, according to Rabinowitz. She said Wednesday, shortly after teleconferencing with dozens of state superintendents. Rabinowitz said she anticipates clarification from the State Department of Education within days. The notion that superintendents have flexibility is news to many of those superintendents. A story from the Millerton News, the Harlan Valley Rail Trail arrived in Millerton in Amenia in the fall of 2000, about 20 years after the last freight train pulled away. Since then, the trail has expanded by 5.5 miles at the Taconic State Park in Copaic Falls and 1.5 miles coming south from Hillsdale. Currently, a project is underway to construct nearly 9 miles of trail connecting Millerton with Copaic Falls. In mid-July, trail work reached Main Street in Millerton, and the route through Railroad Plaza has become clear. Along Route 22 just north of Millerton, the work is quite evident. It's not possible to see the work being done through the incredible wetlands the trail will traverse, and where the trail bends into the middle of the valley between Route 22 and the iconic Berkshire Mountains. Several short concrete bridges are being put in place to allow water to flow beneath to keep the wetlands habitat healthy on both sides of the trail. The Millerton Village Board pursued the latest village business at its recent workshop meeting. The meeting was held via video conference and streamed on the Village of Millerton VOM Facebook page due to COVID-19 pandemic and social distancing regulations. Mayor Debbie Middlebrook initiated the meeting by suggesting the board decide on whether to purchase a new police vehicle. Throughout the board's discussion of the police vehicle purchase, trustees talked with Vetter about the color options, with them leaning towards black and white before the board came to a decision. Gilmer informed the Board of Trustees she needed information about the vehicle's cost, year and make, to include the resolution for a police vehicle purchase. The board put forth a unanimous vote of approval to allow a purchase of a 2020 Ford Police Interceptor utility vehicle with a color to be determined at a later date at a cost of $52,000. The board then approved a motion to pursue a ban through Salisbury Bank and Trust at a rate of 1.8% to cover the cost of the vehicle. Well, after being notified shortly before the end of June via text to school board member Steve Abdad of his intent to resign from the Weebatuck Board of Education effective June 30th, the Northeast Weebatuck Central School District is now on the lookout for an interested candidate to fill that open seat. Weebatuck District Clerk Tracy Trottier said she received the text from Abdad, but no reason was given why he was stepping down from his position. The threat of a new spike of coronavirus infections looms large after New York's healthcare system nearly collapsed last spring under the burden of treating thousands of COVID-19 patients. From scrambles to obtain life-saving breathing machines to protective masks to overrun hospitals storing the dead in freezer trucks, New York's initial pandemic response was filled with traumatic missteps that unfolded daily on a national stage. Yet, as dozens of other states that seem to ignore the hard-earned lessons of New York now face COVID-19 surges, the Empire State's infection rate remains at a record low. Authorities and health officials are devising plans to avoid the state going backwards. A Ghent man is listed in critical condition but stable condition at Albany Medical Center after the motorcycle he was operating collided with the van in the town of Ghent on Monday evening. Troop K Public Information Officer Aaron Hicks said Daniel Graziano, 23, suffered severe trauma and was airlifted by a LifeNet helicopter following the accident on Route 66 at Garage Place Road. The driver of the van, Robert Main, 59, also of Ghent, was treated by a Chatham Rescue Squad at the accident scene. The new data released by the Connecticut Department of Public Health Wednesday showed a positive test rate in Connecticut about 0.6% for new cases out of over 12,000 reported tests. The total people hospitalized dropped to 53, and there were just two additional deaths, increasing the total to 4,425. The only county in Connecticut without a virus patient in the hospital is currently Tolland County. While it's clear the segment of the population that have had been the toughest time with the virus are older folks, the example of how traumatic that has been is broken down with a total deaths of 4,425, over 80, 60%, 70 to 79, 21.7%, 60 to 69, 12.2%. So almost 82% of the deaths in Connecticut are attributed to the coronavirus have been amongst people 70 and above. In Massachusetts, in Pittsfield, the latest figures from the State Department of Public Health on confirmed coronavirus cases by the city and town. In the past week, there were two new cases in Egremont, one in Lee, one in Sheffield, two in Lenox, two in North Adams, and 11 in Pittsfield. Hinsdale and Sandersfield no longer have fewer than five. Each have five total. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 225.92 to 26,313.65 yesterday. The NASDAQ starts off today at 10,587.81 and the S&P 500 at 3,246.22. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.